Good morning, guys. My name is Tina Albert, and I'm an alcoholic. I love it when, Rhonda, thank you so much for asking me to get up at the oh dark 30 crack of dawn to be with you happy freaking people. I think David got that right. Anybody up at 6:30 and happy, I deserve some kudos. Rhonda gave me a little tip when I complained about that yesterday when she called to remind me. And she said, I just get up extra early so I can be happy when I log on. So I did the same, and it seems to have worked. I'm overly caffeinated and ready for the day, which means I might have to take a nap about 4 p.m. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love when I get to come on here and try this like normally. My really freaking expensive internet, which allows me to stay connected to the world in the middle of this lettuce field that I live in called Hollister, California. Always like when I'm gonna talk, it says connect internet connection unstable, similar to myself, I would assume. But when I'm just getting on here to listen to you guys, that never seems to happen. So I got two of me on here. I'm talking on my phone and looking at you guys on my big screen so I could see the squares, and I'm not sure which screen to look at, but I love Alcoholics Anonymous, guys. And if I don't say anything else this morning that you can relate to, I certainly hope you can relate to that. Man, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And it seems to me that what I've learned in the couple days that I've been sober is that if I love something, and it means that I serve it, right? Because I think love and service are kind of synonymous. They mean the same thing. And so it has been my great privilege to do absolutely, I think I'm not lying when I say this, absolutely everything that you guys have asked me to do since the 10th day of October in 1984, which means that last October I celebrated 37 years in your midst. And that is a direct result of some most oftentimes a dictatorial beastly sponsorship. Not to include, there goes my instability again. Not to include my last year of sponsorship, which oftentimes doesn't seem dictatorial and beastly, but the 36 years preceding that, I've been sponsored by some really kick-ass, hardcore step Nazis in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm so grateful for that, you guys, because I am number one an alcoholic of the pig variety, which means that I drink and participate in some condiments, ketchup and mustard, we'll call them. Like, I just do absolutely whatever I can put into my system to change the way that I feel. And I love the fact that in our literature, in the doctor's opinion, Dr. Silkworth says that these men and women are not drinking to escape. They're drinking to overcome a craving beyond their mental control. And for me, I don't know if you can relate, but for me, that craving beyond my mental control seems to be for the sense of ease and comfort that I know that's going to come at once when I pick up a drink of alcohol, man. And because I was a restless, irritable, and discontented, weird, uncomfortable, not good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, didn't know how to fit in, be a part of, do the things that like all of the earth people know how to do. I was just broken from the time that I could remember. In our 12 and 12, it talks about having a sense of anxious apartness. And I think I was born with that, like separate from, different than, just can't connect, like something internally wrong with me. And at the ripe old age of 12, when I took a drink of Scotch whiskey, man, absolutely everything that I thought was broken about me just seemed to melt into the background. And for the first time in my life, I felt okay. For the first time in my life, I was able to breathe, take a nice long deep breath, and exhale. And nothing that I was consumed with, mostly self, mattered to me anymore. And what I know happened, is what our literature describes as that feeling of self-centered fear just seemed to melt into the background. And I would have told anybody that was listening, man, I'm not afraid of nothing because I'm a tough guy. But I was afraid of everything. Mostly what my 12 and 12 tells me, I think it's in the 12 and 12, maybe I'm wrong. It talks about this feeling of self-centered fear being fear that I'm going to lose something that I possess, or I'm going to fail to gain something that I demand. Not that I would wish or care for in my life, but that I demand. And I was consumed with that for my whole life. And I drank that Scotch whiskey early in the morning one day in the beginning of my seventh grade year. And oh my God, I found the magic elixir to my life. And I was certain that I was going to continue to do that every day for the rest of my life, because it just fixed absolutely everything that ailed me. And I only drank for 8 years, you guys. I seem to get wrapped up in like what I used to be like, what I used to be like, what I used to be like. But the truth of the matter is, like, we all know what it used to be like. I'm not somebody that will get on meeting and say, oh, talk about drinking, because we all know how to do that. I think people that say that might not, because I think that when I talk about my drinking, when I talk about the way that I feel, when I talk about what booze did for me as well as to me, what I find is this sense of being able to relate with the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I was new here and the people talked about how broken they were and the relief that they got from that drink of alcohol, that sense of ease and comfort that comes at once by taking a drink, like my shoulders dropped the same way when I heard that in the meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous as they did that first day that I drank that Scotch whiskey. And I was like, oh, like, that's it. And when I got that's it, I knew that you had what I had. I knew that what ailed me was the same thing that ailed you. And therefore, what I knew was, if I were to take those silly, ridiculous, preposterous actions that that sponsor thing was suggesting that I do, maybe what you guys did might work for me too, and I might not have to drink the way that I was drinking anymore. And I'm so grateful for that. If you're new or relatively new in Alcoholics Anonymous, gosh, I want to welcome you here. You know what? I hate it when that happens. What I can tell you is that as a result of being in here with you guys for a couple 24 hours in a row, not waking up with whiskey on my breath or putting any ketchup and mustard up my nose or in my arm or whatever, like, I have built a life beyond my wildest drunken dreams. I love in the daily reflections this morning, it talked about those suggested steps, right? I told that first sponsor thingy I got in 1984, like, because I read the big book so that I could defend myself with your literature. I thought that was very important. But I told that sponsor, like, says multiple times in our literature that the steps are suggested. And that sponsor thingy told me, baby girl, when it leaves my mouth, it's a suggestion. When it hits your ears, it becomes a command. And you will do as I say, or I won't sponsor you. And I thought that was kind of harsh. But I started to take some actions that, as Clancy used to talk about, that I didn't believe in. And all of a sudden, that sense of separation that consumed me for my entire life no longer separated me. All of a sudden, I could walk into the midst of Alcoholics Anonymous and know that I was one among many, that I was with you, and that I belonged here and I was a part of. And that's all I've ever really looked for my whole life. And I started to not drink a day at a time and take those silly actions, not because I wanted to stay sober for the rest of my life. They told me when I was new that I never had to drink again for the rest of my life, 24 hours at a time. I thought that was drastic. And what I thought was, well, you guys only have 3 days left because you're like 86 to 132, but I'm only 20 and I don't want to never drink again for the rest of my life. I just want to move out of my car. Just want to find a shower that doesn't face the strand in Manhattan Beach and have cold water coming out of it and sand in the drain, because I used to steal soap and shower up at the sand showers down at the beach. And I just want to feel better for a minute, and then I want to figure out how to drink again. I found myself in chapter 11 in our big book when it talks about us being at that jumping off place, not being able to imagine a life with alcohol or without it, and knowing loneliness such as few people do. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous unbeknownst to me at that jumping off place in 1984. Not my first jaunt into the ANA. I had been a couple times at the request of counselors and psychiatrists and my parents and teachers and the United States government, whatever. Like, I just came into Alcoholics Anonymous when people told me I had a problem, and just to appease them for a minute so they'd get off my back and I could drink again. And I came to you this time, sweetly reasonable, ready to take a couple actions to fix a broken life. And I stayed here because my literature tells me that if I'm to quit drinking, I have to have a sufficient substitute for the effect produced by alcohol for me. And I have found that sufficient substitute in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Clancy used to say that AA does for me slowly what alcohol used to do quickly. And that seems to be the truth. And as a result of sticking around in here and doing some dumb stuff, clearly, I think I may have said this and I may not have, but has absolutely no bearing whatsoever to the problems popping off in my life, I've been able to not drink one day at a time for a really freaking long time. And I have been able to form relationships. Ugh. Sorry. It's one of those mornings. Form relationships that are unique and priceless. And then, because I've been sober a long time and a kind of a bonehead, I've been able to destroy relationships that are unique and priceless. And then realize that anytime I'm disturbed, regardless of the cause, there's something wrong with moi. I don't get to blame you and put my uncomfortable feelings on you anymore. Like, it's all about me. Me and what I'm doing or not doing that creates the problems in my life, creates the discomfort in my life, right? Because I don't drink a day at a time and problems happen because life gets lucky sometimes up in here. And sometimes what I realize is that it's not so much the problems going off in my life. Well, the last year not included in that, right? Sometimes it's not the problems popping off in my life, but my inability to accept the problems. It's always my resistance to what is that creates the biggest pain in my lifetime. And as a result of sticking around in here with you guys and being sponsored, I don't drink, and I walk through sometimes the seemingly impossible, right? I remember when I was new in AA and that first sponsor guy told me, like, if you're quit drinking, you can't have any lurking notions or reservations. Someday you're going to be able to drink successfully again. And if you were to perhaps have one of those little lurking notions, what might it be? And I remember telling him, like, when I turn 21, because you get free drinks and that's just a no-brainer, and clearly not 21 anymore, and I didn't drink on my birthday. And I remember telling him when I got married I was gonna toast with champagne because it's a thing, and I've been married and divorced and married and divorced, and at none of those marriages nor divorces has it been required for me to toast with champagne. Perhaps the last divorce might have been toastworthy, but we just skipped it anyway. And I remember telling him if something ever happened to my mom, I was going to have to drink. And today, my mom and I sold our little houses down in Los Angeles and back up here to Hollister to be near my kids, and so they could help me out a little bit, because I'm primary caregiver for my mom, and she's suffering from a little bit of dementia. Sometimes I don't know if she's suffering from the dementia or I am. I suffer from her dementia sometimes, but I live up here and I do my best every day to give my mom a reason to laugh so hard she spits coffee out of her nose. And that's most assuredly not the 20-year-old broken little girl that came to you guys in 1984. Like, I didn't two hoots about anybody or what you needed in your life. The only thing
5 minutes
that I think the only thing that I cared about was myself. And if I'm not careful, sometimes today I catch myself in that same position. Sometimes the only thing I can see is me. My literature tells me that I'm obscured from the needed power to live by calamity and pomp and worship of other things. All three of those things include me. Times with a long time sober, I'm obscured from the needed power to live by calamity and pomp and worship of other things, what I want, or an over-exacerbated sense of myself. Like, I just pay way too much attention to me. And the answer every single time, the solution to everything that ails me is out of self, out of self, out of self. Ralph White says, less of me, more of you. And that's my solution every single time. I remember that last little lurking notion I had was, if I'm ever blessed to have a child, and gosh, something happens to that baby, I am drinking. And I've been blessed to have two, and when something happened to that child, and I had this experience after Matthew's motorcycle accident. He lived for 69 days after he wrecked his bike, and I had come to Aaron's sponsorship lineage with like 9,643 women full of estrogen, which is not my jam, but I accidentally found myself in the midst of all of this woman energy. Blah, comes up like a hairball, you know what I mean? I found myself in the middle of all these women 2 days before Maddie's accident. I asked Sharon to sponsor me on a Wednesday, 2 days after Clancy passed away. And Thursday, I went to my first baby meeting or lineage meeting. It was the thing that I said, like, I'll ask you to sponsor me, but I don't care what you say. I'm not going to go to that meeting with all those girls. And the next day, I was in the meeting with all the girls, because that's what sponsorship is. You do the dumb stuff. And I remember thinking, like, this just clearly not gonna work. And the very next day, Maddie wrecked his bike, and we had this 2.5 months of just like this tsunami, this just cyclone of, I'm gonna cuss one time, Rhonda, plug your ears, the tsunami of shit. And what I did was I showed up, because that's what you guys taught me how to do. Like, I just get up, suit up, show up, do the things. You just do the things. You get out of bed and you do the thing. Every single day, I didn't miss one day at the hospital with my son. And he was in Northern California. I was trying to sell houses, buy houses, and move, and pack two houses, move my mom, and go to the hospital, and try and figure out, like, all of the medical stuff. Like, I turned into a doctor really quick. And my experience was everything that I needed to know about every single bodily function that was happening with my child, and every single one of his systems, like, it was almost an ingrained knowledge. I think everything that I need to do and know to live my life, I'm born with. And I spend the rest of my life remembering it. Like, I think God gives us the stuff. Oh, I hate that word, that word. But I think God gives us the stuff. And my experience during that time was I just showed up and I did the things because you guys held me up. Because you guys have always held me up. Like, when my knees fail to do the job, you guys surround me and hold me up. And I'm not one of those let you get close and hold me up kind of chicks. Like, I don't like that stuff at all, because I'm a tough guy. But Oh my God, you guys, like what I know more than I know anything is that if I don't drink a day at a time and I continue to do these actions, these silly little things that still sometimes don't make any sense to me whatsoever, that I don't ever have to drink again for the rest of my life a day at a time. And the greatest gift, I've been given in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous is to be sober and to be in relationship with you guys, to watch my son come in to Alcoholics Anonymous and get sober and be in relationship with you guys. And he was the best AA man that I know. And we got 6 years of being trudging buddies and sharing home groups and people and relationships. And thank you, I see ya. I love this deal. And if you're new in here, I can assure you that there is nothing that will ever happen in your life that a drink will make any better. And if you could come in here and somehow or another get the idea that what you have is alcoholism, permanent, progressive, and predictable, and you make a decision to not drink anymore, you could have a life beyond anything you dream possible. So, Rhonda, thank you so much for letting me be here with you guys today.